Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. Home or away, win or lose, this is your place to share some Arsenal views. And lots
Hello
of views.
And
oops, I haven't muted myself.
It's already amateur hour. Come on. Oh my
That's how long
goodness.
It's been since I've hosted this good shit. Yes, what a lot of views we have to share. I have now muted. It's all good. The world is fine once again. Good afternoon to you all. My name is Chris. I am your host on the Good Shit Arsenal and ABW Radio Live. So let's waste no time and introduce my two fine guests this afternoon. I have got Carl. Afternoon, Carl.
Hello.
And I've got Jace. Afternoon, Jace.
Afternoon.
There it is. Right there. There it is. The ABW pisshead himself. So welcome to one and all watching. 79 of you beautiful bastards in that chat room. 82 of you oh god, hang on, Dom's here. I think we should all just stop a minute. If we could all just say hello, Dom. Everybody wave everybody. Come on, what, thank you. Hello, Dom. Let's get on with this shit show then, shall we? Arsenal 2, Manchester City 1. Don't call it a comeback, everybody. 3-5-2, two wins in a week, and the world is a rosier place once again. I've got the bloody audio Nazi in the chat room already. Look, Danny, you sound wonky, tinny audio. I don't know. I don't care, Danny. I don't care. I can't do any more than I'm doing. I've got nothing downloading, and yeah, bugger off. Right, Carl, start with you. 2-1 victory into the FA Cup final. Spurs lost 24 hours ago. Doesn't get much better than this, does it?
Fuck Spurs. I'm happy. I'm very happy. All these people that wanted us not to win the game because we didn't want to get into the final, I don't understand that. You know, we've got as good a chance as any as winning the cup as Chelsea do. So that's just ridiculous, us not wanting to get into the final. I'm happy. We're in a final, regardless if you're Wenger in, Wenger out, Manchester stay, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck. We are in a final. You know, there's only two teams right now in England are in the final of the FA Cup, and that's us and Chelsea. We have a chance to win a trophy. Everyone needs to be happy. Forget what's happened in the past. Let's look forward. We have a chance to win a trophy. You know, 2 months ago, everyone was down in the dumps. You know, it was the worst time in Arsenal's history, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying the good times are back because they're probably, you know, we probably have got some tough games coming up, but let's be happy right now that we have a chance to win a trophy and to lift the FA Cup again. And not all this, oh, it's only the FA Cup. Fuck that shit. It's a trophy. It's something that you can put in the cabinet and say, we have won that. So everyone just needs to be happy.
Amen to that. And it's not only a trophy, potentially, it's momentum as we push into the season's end. So, Jace, so many doubters, so many people thought we would get, I saw so many tweets overnight and this morning, as soon as the lineup came out, 3-5-2, oh, we're going to get murdered. I thought we were the better side for a very long period, albeit we didn't start, first half we were a little bit on the back foot. But we'll come on to the defending in a minute, but overall, best team won, I thought. Do you agree?
No, I actually do. I've been texting back and forth with a City fan who's a pal of mine, and I think they had better chances. We got, you know, Cech pushing Torre's ball onto the post enough to where it doesn't go in. You know, they had one go off the crossbar, but I think from front to back, I think we definitely dominated for large parts, especially the second half and into extra time there, and fully deserved. Going into the final to hopefully bag another one against Chelsea and take home what would be our third FA Cup in 4 years. So, yeah, no, nothing. I mean, I'm sure I could find something to complain about because that's just who I am. But I won't. I won't.
Bloody
but
Americans.
I could.
No. We will, as with this show, as we always do on the show, we'll look at the positives. There's a couple of things we should. I don't think there's any negatives, and I don't want any negatives on today's show. So all negatives are banned. But we'll have some talking points, which could be deemed as less positive, shall we say? But we'll focus on the positives first of all. Carl, the lineup 3-5-2. Well, it's not 3-5-2, is it? It's 3-4-2-1, isn't it, kind of? Is it working? Was it a tactical masterclass, do you think? Is it just purely that the players have been re-energised, revitalised? Has even the manager been revitalized by something new, something fresh, which is, after all, what everybody's been crowing for. What do you think?
Is that tactical masterclass? No, it's not really, because every man and his dog has done it this season. So it's not like Arsene Wenger suddenly thought, oh, I know, let's try a new formation. So I don't think it's a tactical masterclass. But at the end of the day, he's trying something new. He's trying to reinvigorate Arsenal. And, you know, you can't help but say he is working at the moment, because we beat Middlesbrough and we beat a Man City with playing that formation. So presently it's working, until we lose a game playing that. That's when people say, oh, we should have stuck with it, we should have gone back to the normal formation. So at the end of the day, right now it's working, and long may us continue to use it. Personally, I didn't think we would use it today. I thought we would go back to four at the back. But credit to Arsene Wenger, he's seen something. The players have obviously worked on it in training this week, and he's come out today, he's used it, and it's worked. So long, hopefully it will continue to work for the rest of the season. I very much doubt that he's going to keep this formation. I can't see him. I can't see this being our new formation like forever and a day. I very much doubt he will keep this, because of the players I think he wants to fit into the team. I don't think they do, because, I mean, I would have loved to have seen Bellerin play high up the pitch. I think we've been calling for that for years, you know, just because of his speed. I know his sort of crossing is not very good, but I thought Bellerin is suited to sort of playing up the pitch, but he can't fit him in the team at the moment. And there's a reason for that, because Chamberlain is playing very, very well. And that's credit to him. I think Chamberlain had an excellent game today. And at the end of the day, you have to sort of give him credit for trying something new. You know, there's people that say, oh, he's too fucking his ways, he's not going to change. And he's tried something, he's changed it, and for two games it's worked, and hopefully it will continue to work.
Yeah, yeah, we're not saying he's reinvented the wheel by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm sure a lot of people will continue to have the views, you know, that they had pre this game. But it's not about that. It's more about the situation as to the here and now, as it were. Thank you, by the way, to Tom Bates in the chat room. You're quite right, Tom. For some reason, my audio was coming through my webcam rather than my headset. Sorry about that. Hopefully it sounds a bit better now. Jace. Oh, Crystal Palace have just scored. Lovely job. Christian Benteke, always rated him. Fabulous player. World class. could this day get any better? I'm not sure. Other than a bomb in what? No, I can't say that. Jace. Sorry. I couldn't resist. That's confirmation of the Palace goal there. Yes, Jace. This three at the back thing then. The most interesting part I found about it, Danny, do one. You know it all sod. Look at him in the chat box there. Not saying I didn't tell you, but yeah, you bugger off GFP, you lazy shit. Jace, coming back to you finally. Yes, so we obviously we're trying this new formation. That the players do look a little bit more kind of adjusted to it. It seems to work. The one thing that I really noticed from it especially is the reluctance to not play Hector Bellerin, keep Nacho Monreal in the side, and keep Oxlade-Chamberlain on this sort of right wing back role, which ironically is what apparently if he was signed by another team he could play. So were you surprised to see Hector not put back into the starting lineup and going with Nacho?
No, I think his performances of late have been somewhat sort of tepid, and I think it's because he's got that ankle injury that's really sort of made him change his game, and he's a young player, doesn't quite know how to adapt as well at the moment to sort of his changing body. And so I think what they should do is sort of shut him down till the end of the season, and let him get fully rested and healed up, and not continue to try to throw him on and risk anything further happening to it. But I think we've all understood, and I know I think it was Danny on the pod this last week was talking about possibly having, you know, Ox, you know, move back to the middle. But Ox has stated he wants to play in the right wing. That's actually his preferred position right now. I do think it's sort of actually between him and Walcott more so than it is between him and Hector. But I think we're seeing the performances that we all wanted to see out of somebody in that position, whether it was Walcott or Oxlade-Chamberlain. The Ox has been the one putting those in. He's yes, he's learning some of the defensive part of that position, but we all know how good he can be going forward. He's got a great cross into the box. You know, he's able to beat players on the edge there. We saw early on him try to get the ball and play it in sort of early to get onto Giroud. So that's all the things we've been asking for. Yeah, sometimes the execution at the end point isn't there with Giroud at the moment. But I think what we're finally seeing is what we've all wanted to see, which is somebody who has a little passion and can and learns from his mistakes defensively. I think Ox was very good defensively today. I think he got the man of the match as well, which I 100% agree with. And I hope we don't get rid of him, because I think you've said it on one of the other, you know, radio shows. He's that player that when we don't have him, and he plays against us, we're like, oh, it'd be nice to have a guy like that on our team, wouldn't it? But at the same time, the whole back three thing and wing backs and Nacho being pushed up, you know, I know Carl was just praising Wenger for, you know, being able to change, but let's not forget that we've tweaked things in the past and then gone back to the same. Somebody changing something or doing something different twice doesn't constitute a change. I hope it does constitute a longer term change, but I'm not just going to instantly reverse course on my thoughts on Wenger because we played a different formation for two matches in a row when we've seen other tweaks like that in the past, with certain players coming in or, you know, a few years ago against City when we decided to play a more counterattacking match. But yeah, I'm, you know, happy that it's working now. I think you're seeing the cohesion, especially with the back three and the wing backs right now, having put more practice time in throughout the week. And I think today we saw the dividends of that work. And it does go to show you that, you know, Middlesbrough was going to be a little bit rough because you've probably only worked on it for a week or two before you've really installed it. And now you're getting some more cohesion and players are getting used to that. So it was it's really good to see. And I think it does put some of our players in their best positions as well, which that's all you can really ask the managers, to put the right players in the right places to do what they can.
Yeah, some good points made there. And I think, as both you and Carl have both said, you know, people are very, very quick to jump on the back of people when it doesn't work, players, manager, especially, obviously. Sometimes you have to also give a little bit of credit. And I do remember when Antonio Conte switched back to the formation that suited Chelsea. And, you know, within two or three weeks, everyone was lauding him. I think, as you quite rightly say, both of you, it's two games. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're not suddenly the world's greatest team again. But it's worked for two games. And the thing I liked, especially today, obviously we'll come on to the performances of individuals, it was a real team effort today, a real team ethic, and everyone was fighting for one another, and it really, there was a real togetherness, even down to the celebrations for the goals. So we will come on to that in a second, but I'm just going to say at this stage, well done, Arsene Wenger, well done, and well done, Arsenal. So let's talk about some of the actual incidents within the match then. We've kind of done the lineup already, but I want to talk about the first goal. Carl, so obviously we had to come from behind. giggity. John Welsh's ears just pricked up somewhere in Essex there. But we had to come from behind to get the victory, which when you think about it, actually makes it even more of an achievement for us to have that mental strength, if you will. What did you think?
Clacks on.
Yes, indeed. What did you think of the first goal for Manchester City? Kun Aguero scoring from an Arsenal attack. It was typically Arsenal, wasn't it, to concede from our attack?
Yeah, let's just open that door, won't we, Chris? Let's just just kick it in.
It's that creaking door that we opened.
Yeah, let's just kick it in. I know that people want to blame Ramsey, and I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of one of them. But at the end of the day, it was a team letdown. You have to ask yourself, why is some... Aguero, who is potentially the most lethal striker in the Premier League, one of the most lethal strikers in world football. You know, he is brilliant. Aguero is a very, very good player. Why would you leave him almost unmarked? And people were saying, I understand that, I think it was Nacho that was trying to get back. Aguero versus Nacho, there's just no contest there. There's no contest there whatsoever. So, yes, I understand that Ramsey gave the ball away in a very bad area. And I am pissed off. People will slate me when I say about Ramsey trying these flicks and tricks and shit when he shouldn't. Keep it simple. And that's Ramsey's game. He should keep it simple. there was so many, I'm going to say, there was about three people that he could have passed to, but he decided to try and take on the player and beat him when there was no need for it, no need for it whatsoever. But okay, he gave the ball away. That's fine. At the end of the day, no way should Aguero should have been left in that much space. And you're right what you say, Chris. It's a typical Arsenal goal. Like, who else can be attacking and then concede a goal in within 7 seconds? Only Arsenal. This is, it only happens to Arsenal. It's just ridiculous. Oh, it happens time and time again to Arsenal. Why have we got some of the fastest players in the Premier League, but we always get hit on the counter-attack? It makes no sense whatsoever, just how it works. I don't know. I don't know if it's defending, but it was poor. That was a poor team effort. Not just Ramsey, but Ramsey was the main culprit. Granted, definitely, he should not have given away the ball in that position, but the whole team was let down just by the defending, just leaving Aguero with that much space.
So I think cut you off in your prime then. I thought you were going to go on. But yeah, no, I completely agree with everything you said there. Jace, I'll get your take on it. My view on the goal was, for me, I agree with what Kyle said. It is there's three individual errors. For me, I wasn't too annoyed at how we set up. I know a lot of people, you know, would disagree that one-on-one is... I agree that some people would say that one-on-one in theory should work when you've got a player like Aguero and you leave your one of your fastest players against him. So in our case, Monreal was the logical one to use. But for me, I just think that the decision making that Ramsey has there is all wrong. I think it's not agenda based. It's just, for me, he just doesn't make good decisions in key areas of the pitch. I think that was my biggest concern. I think Petr Cech also has a little bit to answer for. I think he was caught in no man's land. He kind of comes and he goes back. I think there's an error there. And as you say, you know, having that many players forward, I don't think it's unusual for a player to be left one-on-one in that sort of scenario. I think most teams would play, you know, just leave one. If you're attacking a corner, you do throw a lot of players forward. So I do leave a lot of the blame at Ramsey's door. I can't lie. And I stand by that. And I don't change my views on that. I think his decision-making was poor. And I think he had three different versions, three different options he could have played in at that point. He could have gone wide, played into Giroud's feet, or played it across the box. What did you think, Jace, of it? What did you feel about the goal? You know, are you putting blame at anyone's door, or is it just a case of, you know, classic Arsenal, we conceded from our own attack?
Classic Arsenal, we conceded from our own attack. The problem is the person who did give the ball away has put a sort of a target on his own back to receive that criticism when he does. And so I think it's much more magnified. At the same time, you know, I think if Sanchez gives that ball away, we maybe have a little more forgiveness. But, you know, people complain about him giving the ball away a lot. People complain. I've seen Ox give the ball away in sort of a similar position. You know, in the WhatsApp group, people were talking about how, you know, you can't give the ball away there. You got to look up and you know, and see who's around you and know that the sideways pass was on. I think what happened was it was just Aaron Ramsey trusted his players, his teammates around him to be in the right position. That way, if any, you know, you build that trust on the training ground. And then when you do give the ball up, you know that somebody's there to get your back. The problem is Aaron Ramsey let his teammates down by getting rid of the ball there, and his teammates let him down by not being in the correct positions that they should have been. And it caught everybody out, and we got punished for it. So I don't give the ball away there. Maybe look up a little bit more. At the same time, though, like, other players have got to be in between their attacker and the goal. It's you know, where were our three center backs? Why is our wing back the farthest one back? Lots of different layers to it there. Cech, again, no man's land. I thought he could have kept coming. At that point, you keep coming, you either win the ball or concede a penalty. If you don't keep coming, you know that Aguero's probably going to finish you, and you're down a goal anyway. So at least try to go in and at least maybe give the referee something to think about, even if you do make contact with them, because you never know what can happen from the penalty. But it's one of those goals. Aguero is, you know, extremely clinical there and really tough. But yeah, I think as a whole, there's more blame for the entire team than just one person on that first goal there.
Yeah, fair point, fair point. I think it's consistency in how people view things, as you say. I think some players, Ramsey included, get a lot of stick unfairly. But sometimes you just have to kind of...
From you.
Not just me, I assure you. But I just think sometimes it's not a bad thing to just say that somebody's made an error. And I think Carl's point pre-pod, which I think is a very good point, is it's not an agenda on Aaron Ramsey. It's a case of saying, can you just stop making the same fucking mistake time after time after time? And that, I think that's the issue I have. It's not playing sensible in an area where you know you've only got one man behind you. That's my concern. But nevertheless, that's covered that little elephant in the room. My view is my view. Other views are other views, and that's fair enough. That's what we're here for.
Can I just I just want to talk about the Cech thing. Like, I forgot to mention it. For me, I think Cech is also at role, like you mentioned, Chris, because he comes out, and for me, the ball is between him and Aguero.
Yeah.
I think if he goes in his hands, he's going to get that ball. But in the back of his mind, I know for a fact he must be thinking, if I take him out, I'm getting a red card. But in this day and age, you don't anymore, do you? Because of that double jeopardy rule.
So
it would have been a penalty, but he would have been sent off. Yeah. So for me, he hesitates so much. And I think that he could have got that ball, but for some reason he just hesitates. And I don't know, like... we might speak about this later or whatever, but I don't know if Cech is good enough to continue as our number one. Not just because of that mistake, but obviously throughout the season, you've seen certain things from him. Obviously, we'll talk about the save later that he made, but I don't know if he's good enough to continue to be our number one.
I never thought I'd ever say this after the shit I gave him when he got bombed out of the club, basically. But there's a very good goalkeeper in Rome that would be quite good for us right now if he had a different coach. just saying. I think if we can get rid of a certain Morris Dancing coach, I can hear Steve Hillwood chuckling to himself now. I think if we can get Mr. Payton out of the club, we can get a first-class ticket for Mr. Chesney back and say to him, right, no more of the smoking bollocks, no more of the bloody social media crap, and no more nights out in London with Jack Wilshere. Get in goal and do what you're good at, because he's been absolutely brilliant for Roma this season. But sadly, maybe that ship might have passed. But I also
don't think you can take the lad out of Chesney and still keep the same the same mental fortitude that he has. I think that comes sort of hand in hand with him, where you to get the good, you have to take that bad with him. So go out, have a smoke if you want, but you better fucking perform.
Yes, I think that's the key thing. I'd rather he didn't smoke, I have to say. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. Carl, let's go on to the equaliser then, because that's obviously we're going to talk about the good things. We got level Nacho Monreal. I fucking love Nacho Monreal. I fucking love him. And the best part I love about him is as a very low scoring right back at very low level football myself, I know when you score. He had the celebration of a man who didn't know what the hell to do. And credit where credit's due. He likes scoring big goals at big times, doesn't he? I think back to Old Trafford in this FA Cup run before. Mm-hmm. What a finish, though. I mean, you know, on the volley, coming on across his body, on his right foot. Absolutely terrific cross from Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, that has to be said. But what a take. And a key moment of that game, because I think it was right at that time where another 5 minutes, I think our heads have gone and we're accepting defeat. Key time, key finish. I bloody love him. What did you think?
Yeah, I was in the ascendancy of thinking about work tomorrow because I'd sort of given up on the game. And I literally sat down and I kind of, I'm not going to lie, the black in me came out because I shouted, "Brep!" when he scored that. I'll be honest with you, the ghetto came out of me because it was really weird because the cross was absolutely brilliant. The cross was brilliant. It is what we want Chamberlain to do, because that's why I think he's on the pitch. And the finish for me was brilliant with his right foot. Like, if it was his left foot, maybe you'd be like, oh yeah, it's a good goal, but you know, he took it well. But on his right foot, the take was absolutely brilliant. I may have to question the goalkeeper. Should he have got there? Maybe, I don't know, but whatever. At the end of the day, it was a really good finish by Nacho, and that for me gave us the momentum, because after that game, I'm not just saying this, I didn't think he was going to lose that game. As soon as when we got that goal, in my head, I said, we're winning this now, because the momentum was all with us. It was a wave after attack, after attack, after attack. And you're right what you're saying. Nacho did not know what to do. Like, he ran over to Bellerin and he was hugged Bellerin. It's like, hug the players on the pitch, bruv. Not the players not on the sideline. But no, credit to Metro. You know, he comes up with the big goals, remember, against Man United. But very, very well. Very well taken. And it brought us back into the game.
I love the celebration with Hector Bellerin as well. I thought there was something in that. There was a real, you know, I know it's cheesy, but there was a real togetherness about that. It was almost like him saying, see, this is, you know, this is for you almost. This is proof that you can come back from adversity. Because he's been criticised himself this season, Monreal. I think completely wrongly. I, you know, granted he's not had a stellar season, but I think he's been consistently, probably for 3 or 4 years now, one of our better performers week in, week out. And people forget as well, he's never rested. I mean, Kieran Gibbs gets the odd game here and there, but he's very, very rarely out of this side. And I think there's a reason for that. And we've all discussed the lack of cover in front of him at times. So delighted for him and delighted to see him get a goal. Jace, just picking up on the goal, your thoughts obviously on the leveller. And as Carl said, it came at such a key time, didn't it? Because
yeah.
I was exactly like Carl. As soon as we got level, I genuinely sat in my seat and went, yeah, I think we'll win this. I really did. I thought we'd win it in normal time, but really, really key time and lovely goal.
You know, I 100% agree with that. I actually had – I think we've been playing so much better in the start of the second half that I really thought that we were due an equalizer, and we really had them on the back foot. They looked tired. Their legs looked heavy. Out of the gate in the second half. And we looked aside with a lot more impetus, a lot more attacking force. Our passing was much more crisp and solid. Our defending was more solid. It was, yeah. So it's just the face and Ramsey runs over to him and the face that he gives him was just like, it was almost like he was so happy. He wanted to cry because he didn't know what else to do. And you love to see that. Like, you know, We've given the players a lot of crap for not having, you know, a good attitude and a good mentality. But I think, like you said, the celebration, the fact that it meant so much to him, and I'm sure not just for himself, but just for him to be able to lift the team like that, is such a huge, huge boost. And then we just continued to take it to him. It doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. We did exactly what we had to do, and we did it with a large amount of style on that goal, from front to back there. And couldn't be happier for Nacho. Again, one of those players who's come under a lot of criticism this year, especially in defending, and pushing him up a little further up the pitch, I think, has also given him sort of a breath of fresh air. And before we scored the goal, I knew that we were going to go on and at least get one. I had predicted it was going to go to pins before the game. So I was expecting it to already go there. But I really thought, like you said, once we got the goal, I was like, oh, we're going to win this in you know, regular time. So, but no, it's great to see, great from a player, literally front to back on that goal. Everything you guys have said has been spot on to it. And it's been really, really, really nice to see the way that they celebrated together, just how important it was for them. Because I think, like I said, we've been criticizing them a lot lately for what their actual motives are. But I think sort of the innocence of the celebration showed that those motives, the correct motives are still there.
Yeah, completely agree. And we'll definitely touch on the mentality of the players later, because that's something I really did notice today and I want to bring up. So I will we'll come on to that. But Carl, we then got kind of through a bit of a hectic period, didn't we? Manchester City hitting the crossbar and the post, I think it was, in that sort of period of time. But there was a lot of there was an element of fortune about today's game as well, wasn't there? I think about the ball that was out that wasn't out. For the record, I actually thought I could see why the referee or the linesman gave that, in fairness. You know, it was very, very close to swelling out. It looked from the replay the way it was coming out. But do you have a look at the situation today and actually think, do you know what, that sort of luck that we got today is the sort of thing that could turn, when I say our season, we've only got, what, 4 or 5 weeks left, but it is things like that, when they go for you, that could turn your luck in your favour, and particularly confidence. You think there's something in that for us today?
Confidence, most definite. Beating a team like Manchester City at Wembley, surely the players have got to take that on and think to themselves, you know, we just beat Manchester City at Wembley. There's no reason why we can't go on. I mean, our next game is Leicester, I believe, and then the Shite Hart Lane. So we should beat Leicester at home. You know, I know they're champions, but and they've got on a sort of revival. But if we play, you know, we know what Leicester's game, what everyone knows what Leicester's game is about. It's about counter-attack, long ball over the top to Vardy. So, you know, you would dictate sit back, don't flipping play high up the pitch. But we'll see, you know, you're hoping that we would take this momentum into the game and go for it. The game, I'm not going to lie, I'm most worried about is that lot at Shite Hart Lane. You know, it's going to be, you know, I know you don't like giving them praise, Chris, but they are a very good team and it's going to be a hard game. It's not going to be a very easy game. It's going to be an extremely hard game. And, you know, who knows if you can go get four wins on the bounce and, you know, you're looking at that lot and thinking we could take them. You know, we could genuinely go and take them. I mean, they're going to be on the downer from losing the semi-final, and hopefully our fans will let them know that they've lost the semi-final when we get to the ground. You know, we're just going to sing songs about Wembley all game. You hopefully would do that. But, fuck you, Liverpool. Sorry. So what we're hoping is it could maybe turn our season around. We have an opportunity now. I mean, I personally still don't think we get top four, but it could be something to revive our season. We could get up there because I'm sure, maybe I need John Walsh here, because I'm sure now we're in the final of the FA Cup that we automatically get a place in the UEFA Cup.
Europa League, I think. Yeah, I think we automatically get one.
So even if we don't make top four,
can we pass on that if we want? Can we?
can we just not? We just, yeah.
So thank you for your consideration, but I politely reject.
Can we donate it to Spurs? Maybe can we? That'd be nice.
Please.
So no matter what, we are in Europe next season. So even if it's Champions League, it's Champions League. If it's not, we're playing Thursday nights. No matter what, we're in Europe. So even that may be a weight off their minds, you know, because we're in seventh at the moment, I believe, but we've got like three games in hand over Everton. So at the end of the day, that could be a weight off their mind, you know, no matter what, we're in Europe, guys. So let's just take that momentum. Don't worry about having to make Europe and just push on and see how far up the table we can actually get.
I said it 4 or 5 weeks ago when all of this started falling apart and everyone started losing their shit. And I sat here and I said it'd be very, very Arsenal now to win the FA Cup and finish fourth. And I stand by that very sentiment still. Carl, just quickly, ask you what I think about the Spurs game.
What do you think about the Spurs game?
Fuck them. Jace, the second goal. Sorry, I had to get that in there. The second goal, obviously, coming at a very key time as well, given the fact it was in extra time. It doesn't get much more key than that, does it? But obviously, the game going to extra time. I was still fairly confident that we had enough in us to, you know, to go on and win the game. I was watching it with a work colleague, actually, and I think he was more nervous than I am. But that man, it had to be him, didn't it? Alexis Sanchez. Has to be said, after we'd missed a couple of very good chances, Danny Welbeck's in particular, where he absolutely fired. I could see why he shot, in fairness. The pass to Ramsey wasn't an easy one to make. But Alexis popped up when Welbeck missed his kick. I don't know if you saw the touch that Alexis got just to take the ball away from the world's greatest defender, Vincent Kompany.
Also the world's largest eight-head.
Yeah, and he's got a big ass, hasn't he, that boy? Jesus, he's got a big ass. Yeah. But when he reverses, it beeps. Lovely touch from Alexis to get it just that fraction of a yard and then fired it past Claudio Bravo. I thought he'd put it wide. I was delighted to see the net bulge. And his celebration, again, key, you know, fired up. You've got to take the emotion of the occasion into account. But he looks like a player who's found his mojo again. And what a time to score again. Crucial.
Yeah, no, it was and a lot of people are sort of slating, you know, Ozil today. Let's not remember that he was the one who actually put the initial ball into the box. It was a very, very tasty ball that sort of ended up being ricocheted around there. Obviously, he's got some other issues as well, but I'm sure we'll brush on at some point. But, it's one of those things where, you know, you can see why a lot of people want to leave him up top because the old quote unquote fox in the box sort of klaxon and cliche always gets thrown around because he always sort of seems to be in the right place at the right time for those little ricochets. And he's got such great composure on the ball, which, to be fair, the guy can't pass through any single defender at the top of the 18, but at the same time he can you know, Meg, I think it was Otamendi there, or company, one of those defenders there that you know, to take us into the final and really create sort of what now has everybody's been, you know, saying that the season's a loss and you know, everything rooted everything actually, you know, asked the question is, you know, is this an improvement on last season? Well, I don't think it's necessarily an improvement on last season, but the problem is it's really hard to argue when you put yourself in position to actually win a trophy. And it's you know, it's not just an insignificant trophy. It's the FA Cup. It's got a nice long history and we've got a really good history with it. So it's not the fact that, you know, we're just, you know, all doom and gloom and Sanchez is terrible all the time. But the fact is, the guy does come up really big for us a whole lot of times. And you know, passing aside, his sort of whatever his wage demands or whatever the controversy is right now, let's at least just sit back and appreciate what we have over the next few months. And you know, hopefully we can kick on here and they'll want to stay. And hopefully we can use this trophy, unlike we've done in past years, to continue to build on what everybody said at the beginning of the year was one of the best Arsenal sides in recent memory, probably since like 2005, 2006 era. And use this as that platform to build and continue to grow on, to do better in the league, which we obviously have to do. It's crucial. But a player like Alexis coming up in that type of a moment, yeah, like that's why he's there, and that's why he does ask for the big wages, because he's done that for us time and time again.
Yeah. I mean, I think his future is very much on a knife edge again. I don't want to talk too much about, you know, transfers on a day like today, but I can tell you firsthand he's had at least four meetings now with PSG directors and staff. So he's obviously weighing up his options. And do you know what? To be perfectly honest with you, I don't know if you guys would agree, but whether we love him or not, whether he loves the club or not, he's doing what makes sense for him as a businessman at the end of the day. You know, he's looking at his options. And you know what? If he's so key to Arsenal's future, just pay the guy the money. You know, just get it done. If he wants to stay at the club and the only thing that's holding him back is the financial terms, pay the man the money. If he wants to move on and he wants to play for a different club, no worries. I'll hold the door. Cheerio, we'll get another one in. That's how I stand on it. So I think his future is very much up in the air. We shall see what happens. But for now, let's just admire his lovely pearly whites as he went racing across to celebrate, because that was a lovely image from today. So let's talk about some of the individual players then, shall we? Because there's an absolute ton to get through. So we'll wing our way through some players. Carl, I want to start with the defence as a whole, because all three of them, and to be fair, Petr Cech as well, made a couple of very good saves, particularly that fingertip save to, is it Yaya Toure? Yaya Toure. Clipping his his shot onto the post. Bless him. Lumbering twat. But yes, the defence in particular, and I speak of those three defenders, hold my hands up, Gabriel. One performance doesn't make a world-class defender, in my opinion. I still have a lot of reservations, but he was immense today. Absolutely fantastic. Covered, you know, every blade of grass across the defence.
Sorry. For anyone who's probably on the replay of this, I'm doing this for your benefit. Chris, what you just said, can you say that again, please?
Yeah. Absolutely magnificent. I thought he was first class today. Absolutely first class. I still want the bugger to learn English. Lazy shit. I still want to see this from him week in, week out. Absolutely. But I thought he was very, very good today. Absolutely. Credit where credit's due. Rob Holding. I've not seen a player I've been this excited about defensively in a long, long time. I think this kid has got it all. Absolutely got it all. People were mocking us when we went and signed this kid from Bolton. Well, Man City were signing John Stones. John Stones. £3 million he cost us. I think he's the real deal. Absolutely. Steve said it in our group during the game. Both feet comfortable. He never panics. Always plays with his head up. Never ever looks flustered. I think he really has got a huge future ahead of him. And Lauren Koscielny as well. I thought he led by example today. You know, I thought his reading of the game was fantastic. I thought he kept those two. The thing that I really noticed about Koz today was he kept those two defenders close to him. It was always a good rigid structure. So your thoughts, Carl, overall on those three as a defensive partnership, because as I say, I can't pick any faults today. Really, really impressive.
No, the one fault was conceding a goal, but that wasn't just the defence's fault. It was a catalogue of errors. But yes, I agree with you. Definitely, Gabriel was very, very good today. Very impressive. Like you said, you know, one performance doesn't make up for sort of what he's done previously, but he was absolutely brilliant today. Credit where credit's due. Sometimes you have to hold your hands up and say, you know what, you've done well. And maybe three at the back suits him. Maybe he's found his formation or he's found his niche. But today he was very, very good. Koscielny was his normal brilliant self, you know, because at the end of the day, Koscielny is our rock, isn't he? He is that guy at the back that will shepherd sort of the other defenders and tell them what to do. He's our talker. He's you know, our leader. And like you said about Rob Holding, I am very impressed with him. Very, very impressed with him. For someone who's so young and coming, let's face it, but when we signed him, Bolton got relegated. So if you're coming from a club who got relegated, the defence can't be that good. And he's coming to a Premier League team and a top Premier League team. And yes, he hasn't played week in, week out. But every game he's played, he hasn't disappointed me. It's a bit like Perez. You know, he's coming and every game he's played, he hasn't disappointed him. He's coming and he's just calm. On the ball, he is very, very good. You know, he had the header as well that just went over the bar. But I think today, so like, and again, one game doesn't make a good player. We're hoping to see, you know, his progression and hopefully he'll get a run of games. I do think that when Mustafi comes back, you know, who's going to be the one to be dropped? Would it be Holding or would it be Gabriel if we stick with this three at the back formation? But you can't fault him today and it's brilliant and hopefully he'll get his chance. You know, we've got Callum Chambers to come back. So you're thinking, is it going to be Chambers and Holding as a partnership in the future? You know, at the moment, we're not short on centre-backs. They may not be the best quality centre-backs, but we're not short on centre-backs. So hopefully going forward, we've got a good sort of step in our defence.
Agreed. You never want to go too far over the top. I mean, you know, some people have sort of said that Rob Holding reminds him of, you know, young Tony Adams. I think it's a bit early for that, but I see why people say that. He actually reminds me of Martin Keown a lot more. Very quick across the ground, you know, very composed. Not quite as much of an animal, has to be said, as Martin, but he seems to like marking players. He seems to like the physicality, getting touch tight and being, forgive the wording or the choice of phrase, but being up someone's ass. He seems to quite like that approach. And, you know, that's why I really like. He looks like a defender who, yeah, he can play, but fundamentally, he likes defending. That's my kind of defender. And you know what? At the end of the day, Carl, what we've been saying all season, we want that situation where Mustafi gets fit again. And Per Mertesacker, let's not forget, is technically the club captain. You know, if you've got, you want that competition. You want Mustafi to go into training tomorrow morning going, fucking hell, lads, when I'm fit, I've got a job on to get back in here. You know, that's what you want. And you want to know that someone like Gabriel is playing with the pressure of knowing, I can't make a mistake in this game because my place is up for grabs. That's what you want. And you know, credit where credit's due. I think, as I say, those three were a lot more solid today against, let's not forget, a much better side than Middlesbrough. Much better side. So, you know, credit where credit's due. I think they were all excellent. And Jace, speaking of excellent, here's my second hold my hands up situation of the day. I thought Granit Xhaka was fantastic today. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. I saw a few people say, oh, he's quite average today. I don't know what game these people watch. I really don't. I still panic when he leaves the ground. I still panic when he, particularly in extra time, second half, and him and Alexis went bombing on together up front. I thought, what are you doing, Granit? But he's a player that, for me, somebody made this point earlier on. I think it was Richard Garrett. I'm sure it was. So, Richard, if it was you, I think it was you.
It was Richard, yep.
he looks a better player with three centre-backs behind him. And I'll tell you the reason, and I agree with Richard on this, the reason for me is he knows that he can just sit in that centre circle area and he can patrol. And if he wants to go forward, he's got that cover behind him. And he knows the position he's playing now. Whereas previously, in a two, he didn't know where to go. His performance today, what did you think? Because I just thought he was really composed. And one other thing I'll mention, Dom mentioned this, he went over to the crowd, I think, at full-time, half-time and extra time, G'd up the crowd. That's what you want from a player who bleeds the club, essentially. That's what you want, isn't it?
And, Chris, you're no stranger to my love for the Granite. His distribution of the ball, just being able to ping it out left to Alexis. Look at how many times he did that today to switch play. Sort of start to stretch that City back line over, and then being able to – I think the good thing is and I don't get concerned when he leaves his feet. I just – when you look at the tackles he gets called for, they're all reputation – it's all reputation yellow cards. There's not a whole lot of tackles he's had that are like legitimate straight yellows. Oh, it's – they're these niggly tackles that every other player gets called for a free kick for. But because he's Granit Xhaka and he's got that reputation, especially the English referees are quick to sort of brandy that yellow card for him. So I don't – think that I'm not afraid when he leaves his feet. I think he did a great job today. He's got leadership skills, and I think we all know that. I mean, he was the captain at Gladbach, and he was what, 23, 22, something like that when he got awarded that, maybe even younger. He's got a sort of a leader's mentality. And you're right, he looks much more confident and comfortable with his positioning in front of that back three. And that allows him that sort of that peace of mind that he knows he can go in, still be covered. And the other thing is it does sort of allow him to sort of just sit centrally and then distribute the ball offensively. He was not brought in to be a holding midfielder. That's not what his job is. His job is to be a deep lying distributor. And I think we're starting to see that now, specifically with this formation, and just what he can be. The other thing about it is, like, let's give the guy a little bit of time. Like, we can all sit back and remember when Koscielny was beside Vermaelen and nobody wanted Koscielny to play. Nobody did. And now look at him. You can't drop the guy. He's one of consistently our best defenders the last few years. Like, let's allow these players time to actually bed in. Like, let's stop with the short leash on everybody that comes in and allow them to figure out the system and figure out their teammates, because it's not something that just happens over a few months. It takes a lot longer than that. I think we're starting to finally see, one, the formation that suits his style of play and his role better, as well as I think we're starting to see him understand his teammates a lot better. And I think both of those are really, really starting to show for him. I mean, we're seeing the Granit Xhaka that we paid, you know, $36 million for, as opposed to the Granit Xhaka who everybody was slating a few weeks ago, you know, for just not being there in the game and not knowing exactly where to go. That's one of the things I sort of said earlier on, like, this formation puts our players in their best positions. That's what you ask from a manager. That's what I've been asking Arsene Wenger to do the last few years. I don't feel that he's done. I'm going to need to see it for more than two games, but at the same time, like, it's really nice to see sort of everybody starting to come into form right now. And I hope this is more of a permanent change from Wenger, because, like I said, we're starting to see with Granit Xhaka just exactly how good he can be in the right system and utilized in the correct manner.
One, as we say, one formation change does not make a career, and certainly doesn't gloss over some of the errors we have made tactically. But you know what? Again, you know, we'll say it again: credit where credit is due. Yeah. When you make such a sweeping change, and let's make no bones about this: this is a manager who has been, you know, set in his ways for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And whilst I'll freely admit, it was for me when I saw that Middlesbrough team sheet, I went, okay, that's a bit of a Hail Mary if ever I saw one. But you know what? To have the bollocks to do that when your reputation is on the line, and let's make no mistake about it, it still is, you know, fair play for having the balls.
And let's also talk about how any one of us, if we had a system that we had literally developed from our own, basically revolutionized an entire sort of area's way that they sort of play soccer, taking a team without a loss throughout a year. You would think that that system would work a long time after it probably didn't as well, right? Like, that's just human mentality. People stick with what they know, and that's what Fenger's done. That's why he is reluctant to change. Doesn't necessarily mean that he still shouldn't, everybody would be reluctant to change. People are reluctant to change freaking shampoos because they've used the same Vidal Sassoon for 5 years, right?
Come
on, Chris. But yeah, so of course the guy's going to be stubborn to change, but at the same time, I really hope that he sees because it doesn't matter if I see it or if everything sees it or who sees it. Wenger has to see that these players are doing much better in this system, and he's got to be the one who sticks to it. So, and Thunder Road, I can say soccer because go shut the fuck up. Seriously, who cares about terminology in these times? God damn, so fucking ignorant.
Yeah. Jesus. Come on. Jesus, people, just give people some bloody pass on the fact that they're from a different country. My God. Yes, no, absolutely. I think you make some very good points. And again, you know, we're not sitting here with rose-tinted glasses saying that one result, everything's fine. We could go to this final and we could lose 7-0. You know, it's perfectly possible. But you know what? As Carl said at the very start of this show, we're in a cup final. And all those people sitting there now going, well, it's only the FA Cup. To quote Mr. Davies, go fuck yourselves. All right, it's a trophy, and it's the best available trophy that we can win. And you know what? Arsene Wenger's won, was it equally as many as any other manager in history. And if he wins it this year, he'd be out there on his own. It's still an achievement. It's still a trophy. I don't know about any of you lot. I couldn't give a fuck if we're playing Portsmouth, Sutton, or the Pirates at home. I want us to win every game possible. And if that means a trophy, bring it on.
Are you saying that you would throw a match for the Pirates if they were playing Arsenal? Is that did we just hear that?
Playing Arsenal, maybe. Maybe I'd start myself and accidentally give away a few penalties.
Fixing as well. Carpenter's got to go.
Hey, don't keep on, Carl. You'll set Jermaine Janus crying again.
Just a quick question. The next game, if we lose again before the end of the season, and we're playing three at the back, do you think we should go back to the original formation, or do you think we should stick with this one?
I don't. I mean, I'll hold my hands up here. The whole three at the back thing for me, I think it's a phase. I do. I think because we've tried the 4-1-4-1, didn't we? When that was all the rage, you know, we went from four. We were one of the first teams to go 4-2-3-1, if I remember rightly. Manchester City play 4-2-3-1 today, and apparently they got the best manager in the world of football. More on him later. So, you know, I don't know. I'm going to get it in, Jace, if it kills me. I don't think three at the back is going to solve the fact that our squad is not, for me, good enough to win the Premier League title. I generally don't think it is. I still think there's a lot of players that at the end of the season, we still have to have a very hard look at. And I think we still have to be looking to improve that squad. I also still think that our coaching setup needs a huge revamp. The one thing that's really good about this change of formation is the fact that it proves that these players are adaptable. And that's something that I think all of us on this podcast and you know, throughout the Arsenal supporting community, I think we've genuinely looked at some of our players this season and gone, I'm not actually sure they're good enough. I don't think they've got the mentality to be able to change. I'm not sure the manager has the ability to change these players and try something new. This formation is proving that they can. I'm with you, Carl. I don't think you change it. I think if it is working, it's working. And, you know, what do you do? Like, change the formation every time you lose? You know, I think you've got to stick with it. That's Mr. Gimli look. I think you have to stick with it, and you have to give it time. You know, if we stick with it for 6 months and we start losing four or five games, then you might have to look again. But Chelsea lost, didn't they, to Manchester United? Nobody's questioning that formation. Nobody's changing that, you know, that system. So no, stick with it. And one other thing I'll say before we move on. I'm not against the idea of us changing formation for certain games. It can be done, you know. We don't have to play the same way every week. So I'd like to see us change it up and play players that suit the game rather than just picking a formation blindly and hoping for the best. So, no, I'm all about change. I still think the three at the back is a bit of a phase. Juventus have been doing it for years. It's just all of a sudden the English media have gone, oh, look, Chelsea are doing a new formation.
Well, at the end of the day, it's working. A team that's going to potentially win the league, you know, has been three at the back. We had really bad results. We switched to three at the back and it's now working for us. So, yeah, you're right. It may be a phase. And, you know, next week people could go back to being four at the back, five at the back, whatever. At the end of the day,
if it works,
it's working. If it works, we have to play six up front, we play six up front. At the end of the day, it's working, and Arsenal are playing well at the moment. So long may it continue.
And also, it suits the defenders we've got. That's something I'd say as well. I genuinely think it suits the defenders, particularly the centre backs that we've got. And I don't know about you guys, I'm excited to see the day when we play Monreal and Bellerin as the actual wing backs, because I think both of them will be brilliant. Now, unfortunately, that means one of the central midfielders is going to have to miss out, because for me, you don't drop Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain at the moment, which is a beautiful segue, Carl, into Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, because I wanted to ask you about him as well. Obviously, a lot of talk, a lot of brinksmanship with him and his agent in the media at the moment, talks of moves to Liverpool, talks of moves to Man City, etc. He, for one, has been a player in recent weeks that has been honest. He's been passionate. You know, he's taken strides on in his career. And I genuinely think he's a player that is out there right now to prove a point, to prove that he's good enough to play in this Arsenal shirt. Once again today, had a few moments where you went, oh, what are you doing? But he's a player that's playing at his very top level at the moment. And for me, is playing to say, I should be one of the top earners at this club to stay. Do you agree with that, Carl? And would you do everything you can to keep him in this midfield right now?
No, sorry. I would do everything in my power to keep Sanchez. That's the, for me, Arsenal's main focus is to keep Sanchez. And if it comes to a point that we know when he's not going to stay, then get him out of the club and get his replacement. I don't want, sorry to segue, but I don't want this Sanchez thing and Ozil thing going on all summer. Since the season finishes, then concentrate on other players. I'm not saying that Ox should take a back seat, but I think there's other players to concentrate on first. I mean, I hear what you're saying. If we're playing Theo Walcott 140 grand a week for what he does, then yes, Ox definitely does deserve a pay rise. And the thing is, someone at Ox will probably see that. He probably will see things like, oh, you know, if Theo's getting 140 grand a week and look how he is, you know, why can't I be one of the top earners? Clubs will be clamouring for him. He's going to have that English premium. You know, whenever someone is English, you got to add another 10 mil onto whatever their price tag is. It's just what it is. But at the same time, I would love to keep him. I do want to keep him, but I do think that we have other priorities first before we think about Ox, because I just don't understand why we've let it run this far. Maybe there's something that they're not telling us, the general public. Maybe things have already been sorted. Maybe he's already said, I'm definitely not signing, I'm going. And, you know, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. But for me, there are more top priorities to sort out before him. But saying that, today he was absolutely brilliant. He was immense today. He's the cross that he put in, he's just like a Duracell bunny, because even in extra time he just wasn't tired. He was still closing people down, bombing up that wing. You know, I can see why the substitution was made with Bellerin, because you're thinking more defensive minded, and you know, remember, Arsene Wenger doesn't do tactics. But at the same time, today he was very, very good. And you can, this is the reason why people praise him so much. You know, just like everyone, he has his good and he had his bad days. But recently he's having a very good run. He's crossing. You can tell what the sort of tactic was today, get the ball in early, because he was literally getting the ball and crossing in early. And you can tell that's what the tactic was from early. But, and he does his job. You know, he's good at crossing. He's got an all-round game. And I think, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't keep him, but I think there's other players first to think about.
Yeah. Again, a very measured response. I think I think there are other midfielders, one who's at the club and one who's not at the club at the moment, where maybe their futures are a little bit more in doubt than Ox's, i.e. in the level of the level I'd push to keep them, shall we say. But again, we will cover that on another time in another podcast. Jace, I do just want to touch on two Negatives is the wrong word, because again, I don't want to do negatives because I'm hosting. I don't want to be negative.
Supposedly, I am negative. So if you want to hit on one, I'm the perfect person to do it.
hey, I'm watching soccer at the moment. It's fine. The only negative I would say, or the only negatives that I'm seeing for the fan base today, are the performances of Mesut Ozil and Olivier Giroud. Now, I personally think that Mesut Ozil is one of those players that is starting to divide opinion a lot. For me, we have to decide, do we want a player like Mesut Ozil in the side or do we not? Now, if we do, we have to play to his strengths and we have to accept the rough with the smooth with him. He's not a player who's going to ever chase back. If you want a player, he's not him. So just forget it, move on. It's never going to happen. He's not a player that's going to tackle players unless he's, you know, playing something. Let's be honest. And he's not a player who is going to break at speed, break his neck to get from one end of the pitch to the other. That isn't his game. If you want a player who can basically win a game on his own with one pass, one shot, one assist, whatever, he is your type of player. Mm-hmm. So I want to get your thoughts on his performance overall and where you think he is. And also with Olivier Giroud, wasn't his best game tonight. Absolutely, really wasn't. But did we ever play through strengths again today? I don't think we do. And I think if we're going to get the best out of Olivier Giroud, we have to look at providing him with some sort of ammunition. Because again today, we didn't play through strengths. And I still think he's got an awful lot to add. And I know you're a big fan. So what's your thoughts on those two players?
I'll start with Giroud first and then work my way to Messi, because I think some sort of linkage here. On some degrees, I was slightly disappointed to see Giroud start today up top. Everybody knows I'm a huge fan of him. Last season, I even wrote a blog defending him among some of the top strikers in Europe. But he's come on some substitute performances this year, been really, really good for us and got some great goals. But today was not the right match to start him in. Is overhyped as Vincent Kompany is, he's still a good defender and he's a very physical defender. And I think maybe that's why Wenger went with Giroud, so that they would have that sort of physical battle. But at the same time, the high line that City's going to play really would have lent itself to maybe Walcott or Welbeck starting up front to where they could use their pace. And I'm probably somebody who thinks Welbeck has maybe lost a step, but obviously still quicker than Giroud. So, And I totally disagree with Neil that Giroud's useless. It's just not the right match for him. I think he's got a particular set of skills, which we all know what they are, and they weren't – that set of skills was not the right set for today's match. So I think that's maybe one area where Wenger got it wrong today was by starting him. At the same time, I don't think he was awful today, but I definitely don't think he bathed himself in glory. You know, we were trying to get some crosses into the box to him. He just wasn't able to sort of find any of the sort of connections there to really challenge, you know, Bravo at all. And it was really a game that called for pace. And when we play teams like Borough, I want to see him up top. Palace, I want to see him up top, because they're just going to sit back and defend. They're not going to try to play a high line. Let him batter, you know, for the first 65, 70 minutes. Let him batter those center backs around and then bring on the pace once they're knackered. Today we still did that, but I think we could have had a little more success earlier on in the match had we had some more speed up top to be able to sort of have an outlet, because we were having to sit back and defend so much, and we could have probably hit him on the break a little bit better. But he's right now, with the way this team looks, he needs to be on the bench and coming off of the bench on a much more consistent basis than starting, because of how we're trying to play. I feel I think that's how, you know, how he's going to have his biggest impact for us right now. Part of that comes into, you know, Mesut Ozil is not going to provide Giroud the type of balls that he needs to really make a difference right now. I don't think of this formation, because Giroud's having to sort of sit in between the two center backs. And so the passing lanes, everything sort of obstructed for him. So Mesut Ozil, though, he's a very mercurial player. When the guy's good, he's world class. I don't think anybody can deny that. I still look back to his first assist when he came in, and we were playing Sunderland or Stoke, and the way he just brought the ball down and put it right into the path of Giroud to slot home. And that's what he can provide you. And in just an instant, you never know where it's going to come out. The problem is it hasn't been coming out enough this season. And I don't know why, because we've had, I think, better players around him. We've had quicker players around him, with Sanchez up top, playing Iwobi, who's quicker out on the left as well. And then, Ox and sort of Theo on the right, or Welbeck on the right, now that he's healthy, has played there slightly. It's so hard to define Mesut Ozil. He's got such a languid, fluid style. I know Dom mentioned earlier, because I sort of said something about him, Dom mentioned that he's probably going to be the player who ran the most in this match, and I do think he does put in a lot of legwork. The problem with that is a lot of the times when we see other players sort of give the ball away or sort of get pushed off of it, they tend to fight a little bit more for it. I don't think we see that fight. Part of it is I don't think we should necessarily expect that fight from him, because he's never been that player. He was never that player at Madrid. He's like Chris said, he's not going to track back. So it's, you got it with Mesut, you have absolutely have to sort of key everything around him. You have to set up a system that allows him some space. He needs some space on the ball to be able to play those little sort of intricate passes that he likes to do. And you have to have runners around him. And at times we haven't done that. So I don't necessarily think that we have set him up to succeed, but at the same time, I think he has the talent that, whether we completely set him up to succeed, I think he has the talent that he should be able to succeed anyway. And I've been somewhat disappointed with him this year myself. Just because I do expect so much from him. And at the same time, even offensively, I just don't think he's been as good. And I'm not exactly sure what the issue has been, or if it's just confidence that he has right now or not. But let's hope that he finds sort of what he had last season at the beginning of the year, when he had, like, what was it, like 18 or 17 assists before January. That's the Ozil that we know we've got, and I think that's what we're all expecting. And for some reason, it's just not there right now.
I think it's as you quite rightly say, it's a very difficult one to know. I mean, obviously Mesut's future is up in the air. I think a lot of it is is being discussed at the moment, including a change of shirt, I gather. Obviously, his contract negotiations are underway. And that's, like I said previously, I think we have to change the way we play to get the best out of him. As for Olivier Giroud, I think he's going to be one of these players that's only ever going to be appreciated for how good he is when he's gone. And that saddens me, actually, because I think he's a very, very useful player. I don't think he should start every week. I agree with you, Jace. I think pace is the modern game now. I think you have to have... I think if you're going to have a big lumbering centre-forward, or a big physical centre-forward, you've got to have a centre-forward who's quick. Diego Costa is a big lumbering centre-forward, but he's quick. Lukaku, for all my reservations, is a big, quick centre-forward. Even if you look at the likes of...
Wait, did you just praise Lukaku?
Do you know what?
No, this I didn't praise him.
I didn't praise him. I need to make that...
How did he get on when it really mattered for Everton yesterday? Oh, wait, hang on, 0-0, yeah.
They were away from home. He only scores in Everton.
No, he only scores when they're 3-0 up. We know this. But he's a quality centre-forward. He's not the quality I personally want at Arsenal, but when he signs, I'll have to sit back and suck it up. But my point is, even the Mbappes of this world, the young centre forwards, even when they are big, powerful players, they're still quick, and I think that's the problem. I think if Alan Smith had a rotational partner, Olivier Giroud would have been ideal in that era, or John Hartson kind of era. I think the problem with Olivier is that the fact he doesn't have that pace means that he will always look lumbering and slow. And no matter how good technically he is, if we're not playing balls into the box, low at the near post or crosses for his head, he's never going to fit the system we're trying to adopt. And I think a Theo Walker or a Danny Welbeck is probably a better option. I actually am one of the few people that doesn't think Alexis Sanchez at centre forward is the best utilization or is best utilized his talents. I think the role he's got now is perfect for him. He can float from left to right. It's almost the Henri role reinvented. But I do think you need pace through the middle, and I'd like to see Theo potentially come back in when we play Leicester, indeed, with
big old Robert, next year.
Well, yeah, well, don't open that box again because I'll get upset and cry. But I think he's going somewhere. But yeah, I do think that Olivier Giroud's still got a lot to offer. Maybe he might be in France next year. I'll say no more, but I'm hearing a lot of whispers. So I hope he doesn't. I'd like to see him stick around. Anyway, before we take some questions, I want to get both your thoughts now on the final and indeed the run-in, because obviously we've got a lot of key games coming. We've got Leicester City on Wednesday. We've got a North London derby, as Carl's mentioned, this time next Sunday. I'd love to smash those cunts just to win their title, right? I'd be fucking hilarious. And then, of course, we've got Chelsea in the final. So I just want to give you both an opportunity now to just give me your thoughts on where you think this leaves the season. Do you still feel that we can make top four given results this weekend? And do you feel confident going into this final now that we can actually lift that FA Cup, given the fact it's Chelsea? So, Carl, what do you think of the run-in now?
It's a final. In finals, you never know what's going to happen. You have to understand that strange things happen in finals. So you just never know what's going to happen. You know, are Chelsea a better team than us? Of course they are, yes. If you're on top of the league and you're behind that team by about 20 points, of course you have to understand that they are a better team than us. But you just don't know what could happen in finals. And at the moment, we're got a new lease of life, to say the least, because at the end of the day, we're playing a new formation. Will Chelsea know how to sort of combat how we play? You just don't know what's going to happen. It's a one-off game, and it's one of them games where, you know, realistically, it's going to be very hard for us to win this game. We know this, and as Arsenal fans, I don't want any doom and gloom, but yes, it's not going to be easy for us to win. But if we can take some momentum into that game, you know, I think Leicester in the week, I'm hopeful. I think we should win that. Hopefully, we will go in and win that. Tottenham away, you know, it's a North London derby, and them games, you just never know what's going to happen. Tottenham are in a rich vein of form at the moment, and yes, they are playing well, but you just don't know. And when it comes to North London derbies, if we can get the upper edge, it's brilliant. And then straight after that, we've got Man United at home, which for me is probably the most important game of all the games outside the FA Cup, just because that game, we are both battling for top four, and we're both just outside the top four. So that is going to be a crunch game, you know. And then it's everything coming into one: Mourinho versus Wenger, Man United versus Arsenal. Now, for me, still, I hate Man United more than I hate Chelsea. I know sort of some fans may their way around, but Tottenham will always be at the top. I hate them, but Man United are underneath them, because my rivalry as I was growing up was Tottenham first, Man United after, and it's got so much sort of entities into that game, so you just don't know what's going to happen. The rest of the games, you know, we've got to go Stoke, we've got to go Southampton. Those are the games. We've got to play Everton as well, to be honest, last game of the season. So it's a good run of games we've got, and it's a good test of character. You know, we don't have the best sort of record away at Southampton. We don't have the best record away at Stoke. But at the end of the day, these are the teams you have to go and beat if you want to be seen as a very good team. You can't be turning up to Stoke and Southampton and then places like that and think, oh yeah, we can just, they can roll over because of what's happened in the past. We have to prove that we are up for this fight, and it's going to be a fight to get into the top four, because every single team from us, Everton, Man United, Liverpool, Man City, we are all fighting to get into this top four. And it's something that, me personally, if we get into it, it's brilliant. If we don't get into it, you know, look what Chelsea have done without European football, even though I know we're in the final of the FA Cup, so we have got European football this year, which is annoying, because me, I wanted to either be in the Champions League or be out of Europe. I didn't want to be in the Europa League. I really did not, but it is what it is at the moment. I think that us being in the final is a weight off our minds, and it should give us momentum to go into the run of games and think we are good enough to win all these games. There's no reason why we can't win the rest of our league games. There's no reason whatsoever, because we are Arsenal. We are a good team. Yes, presently, we're not playing the best football that we've ever played, and things have to change. And Arsene Wenger has changed them. So hopefully we can take that change and progress forward and hopefully win the rest of our games and make the top four.
Agreed, agreed. And Jace, give us your thoughts, and then we'll do a few questions, and then I've got to get out of here because I've got someone waiting for me. So what's your thoughts, Jace, on the sort of running and that final? Are we winning this FA Cup and somehow finding a way in the top four again?
Is he muted himself?
I think he's muted himself. Yes, he's muted.
I did. Good thing I didn't say anything. I just sort of gave myself a sly little laugh because I think everybody knows my thoughts on fucking Chavs. And they're just a team of cunts from front to back. Specifically one who's the only person I've ever advocated violence against. And we all know who that is. So if you see him, just break his legs. I think that we can definitely, with the form that we're in now, can push Chelsea probably better than we could a few months ago. And it's our turn to win. They won the last one, so it's our turn next. So yeah, I do think we can absolutely win the cup 100%. The run in if we play like we did today against every team, then I think we've got a really good chance of making top four. It's going to be tough. I'm sort of with everybody else. Like you hate having to travel to, you know, these mid-level Turkish teams and Russian teams, and just the time and the fixture sort of congestion when you're in the UEFA Cup is not, or Europa League is just not, it's not conducive to winning. And I would like to sort of see us either bow out of Europe altogether, which sadly I think is very hard at this point, because I think since we are in the final, we will get that spot. But I think you said it earlier, Chris, or maybe it was Carl. Just now that you know that you're in a European spot because you're in the final, just what do you have to lose now? Nothing. Just go out and grab points. That's all you can do. Be the spoilers for everybody else and see what we can do. And let's keep the cult of Pep out of Europe. Kept him trophyless. Now let's keep him out of Europe.
Don't steal my line. I was saving that.
You would have loved the intro that I got over here in the States with the world's best football manager with the team to back it up, and I literally laughed out loud.
With all the money in the world and with all the backing and no pressure and some of the world's greatest footballers, the man's a fucking fraud. End of story. Anyway.
It's one of those things. We can definitely use this as a building block for some short-term success and use the FA Cup this year as a building block for success going forward. But I definitely think that am I confident we'll get top four? I'm not putting my mortgage on it, that's for sure. But I do still think there's a chance, and I think we have the talent to go out and rattle off enough wins and grab enough points to be up there. But we're still on an uphill journey at the moment.
Agreed. Okay, right. I'm timing this. You've all got 10 minutes, people. At 7:20, I am pulling the plug. So, Carl, over to you. Questions, if you can find a couple for us. And the rule is, Jace, that you and I, or indeed Carl, we have less than 30 seconds to answer each question.
So just confirm, you're not going to carpenter the questions?
Nope, I'm going to be very good today, I promise.
No worries. Tom Bates says, do you guys think that changing the backroom staff could be equivalent of a few good signings to freshen up the mentality of the team as a whole?
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
Okay. Jamie Cradle. How can we beat that lot in blue in May in the final? It won't be no easy feat. We just covered that, but just quickly, how do we beat them quickly?
Tactically astute, well drilled, commitment, leave nothing out, or leave everything on the pitch, leave nothing in the dressing room, and pick the right system to combat what we know they will pick and get a little bit of luck.
Jason, how do you think we beat as you call them, the cunts?
We definitely need to, we have to be tactically astute, because I think Conte is a very good manager, but shut Hazard down and shut Costa down, and you shut Chelsea down.
Okay. Nickerts asked, if you had to choose one, FA Cup or top four, what do you pick? Chris?
Neither. I want both.
Stop being a carpenter. Pick one.
But FA Cup.
And Jason?
Top four.
Mutiny.
There's more money in it.
Fuck the money. I want trophies.
Yeah, I have to agree. I go for FA Cup because, contrary to belief, fourth place is not a trophy.
It's not. But it gets you lots of money to spend on good players so that you can win a league.
But do we buy good players?
Well, that's a whole different philosophical question that we have.
K-Man, all the numbers in the world, says, Sanchez has been playing professionally since 17 years old. He's now 28. Isn't time to sell him now? Or do you think he's got a few good years left in him?
Still got plenty of years left in him. Still got, I would say, at least 3 years at the very top. Didn't affect Luis Suarez when he signed for Barcelona at 28. So, no, if he wants to, I'll say again, if he wants to stay at the club and the only issue that he has is money and ambition, then give him the money. Show him you're ambitious in the transfer market. Keep him. If he wants to play for Chelsea or anyone else, I will hold the door. Carl will pack his bags and Jason will drive the car.
Indeed. Just a caveat to that question. What is the minimum amount that you, if he was to leave this season, what's the minimum amount that you think he should go for? Considering he has got 1 year left on his contract.
50 million euros for me. That's the magical figure. Because as you say, 1 year left, you aren't going to get much more than that. What's that about? 38, 39 million quid? I think that's the most you'll get. Same with Mesut. So if I was going to sell him, particularly if he goes to PSG, which I personally think might be likely, I'd be looking to get a player in exchange. And that player is Gregor Kvaratskhelia. So, yeah, that's what I would do. Chase?
No, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Cool.
Except for the Kvaratskhelia. I'd rather have Draxler. Go ahead. Sorry.
You're not getting Drax. Come on, Chase. Be sensible here.
Yeah, but I still want him.
And we're not having fucking Cavani either, so don't start.
Last question. I'll go for Rude, everything. Rude. Should the whole team adapt Hector Bellerin's haircut? And me personally, I want Chris. I need to see Chris with Kane. No. Like, it has to happen.
John Welch asked me this. He said the other day, he's like, I can't believe that Chris hasn't had. I genuinely have never had my hair braided, and I never will. Listen, Hector. I think we all have to accept the fact that we're all slightly older than Hector's generation. And I think it's obviously popular with the kids these days. Do you know what? I don't give a fuck if Hector Bellerin has got pink hair, dreadlocks. Or
of course you don't think
it's... Exactly.
Exactly. Look at your streak there. Wow.
I'm getting it touched up tomorrow. It'll be fine. But no, I could give a shit if he wears a David Crockett hat and goes out the pitch. If he plays... to the level that we know he can. He needs to get some ankle surgery. He's clearly not right at the moment. Have a rest, Hector. Come back stronger next season or provide a big part of our run-in. I don't give a monkey's what type of hair the players wear, what boots they wear. I don't care. If they're happy, they're happy. It's not my cup of tea. It looks silly on Andy Carroll. It looks even sillier on Hector Bellerin. But, yeah, it is what it is. Crack on. So there you go. We did actually have one other question I wanted to bring up quickly, because it was about a player who I actually think we should be looking at, by the way. Johnny Moon wanted to know Virgil van Dijk. Would you? And I would. I don't know about you guys, but we were talking about earlier on about playing this. If we're going to play this back three, I think he's absolutely perfect for that system. So, Kyle, did you just have a quick thought on him? I know it's not about transfers today, but I just thought it was worth bringing that up.
I remember, was it towards the beginning of the season? He was very good. He's very highly spoke about. I haven't really seen him as of late, but
he's been injured for 2.5 months, I think.
Yeah, so beginning of the season, he was highly spoken about. For me, it depends on what happens with Chambers. I think, but the problem is, I'm sure Mertesacker signed a 1 year extension, hasn't he? So. Yep. If everyone stays at the club, you've got Mertesacker, Koscielny, Holding, Chambers,
Gabriel.
Gabriel. Am I missing anyone else?
No, I think that's a centre-back.
So that's five centre-backs for either 3/2 positions, which makes for a good squad. No doubt, most definitely. But the problem... Sorry, did I mention... I'll show me someone out. But whatever, it doesn't matter.
Mustafi,
that's it. So 6 centre-backs we have. So 6 centre-backs for 3/2 positions, which again, like I said, makes for a good strength in depth. But at the same time, how long is it before certain players become unhappy because they don't have maximum playing time? So to bring in another one, Van Dijk, even he does come in, that means someone has to leave. Now, it's not going to be Mertesacker because he's just signed a one-year deal, so I doubt his contract's going to be done. We're not going to sell Koscielny. Mustafi's not going to go. So then, are you thinking about having Holding go out on loan or Chambers go out on loan again? So you just don't know. So at present, I don't think, unless a centre-back leaves, I can't see us bringing in any other centre-back.
See, I think you could arguably bring a centre-back in because, again, it comes back to this whole, are we ambitious, are we not? If we are ambitious, we've got to be in for the very top-level players that are available. And I reserve judgment. And I saw him at Celtic. I've seen him at Southampton. I've seen enough to know that he's mobile and he fits that system, more importantly. I think you do it. I think the Mertesacker one-year contract is as much about the back room as it is on the playing field. So for me, that's null and void because I think even Per would know he's not going to play as much as he might.
Koscielny is a coach. What happened with Arteta.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I mean, that's a fair point. But either way you look at it, even if he signed on as a... He may well be signed on as a behind-the-scenes coach, but on a playing contract. So that for me, voids that one. Callum Chambers is a perfect holding midfielder when you're short, and I think he's an easy player. You could change into that type of player. Equally, could play at right back, particularly if he's being asked to play a right wing back rather than just being an out and out right back, which we proved doesn't really work. Koscielny's Achilles will always mean he'll miss 10 to 15 games a season, I think, or at least from what Dom said, it's not going to get any better, particularly at his age. And Mustafi will be a better player next year. Gabriel, the jury's still out for me. As I say, brilliant today, but I need to see more to be convinced that he is good enough at this level long term. So I think there is room. I really do. And yeah, I think as for Rob Holding, let's all just take a step back. You know, he was brilliant today. Love the kid. Looks like a really, really good piece of business, and rather than comparing him to Tony Adams, I'd rather look at him as more of a, dare I say it, a John Terry, but less cunty, in that he could be a player that we could have bought young and that could end up being the stalwart of this defence for 10, 15 years plus. So let's hope that's the case. But until then, maybe a loan deal next season would be the best thing for him. But it depends who you bring in. If we've got the defenders we got now, keep him around. If we have got the option of bringing in somebody else, go for it. That's how I say. So, but that's probably for another day. I just wanted to address that because he is a player that's been talked about a bit. So there we go. Okay. I think we'll leave it there because I know there's a quite a big game that everyone wants to watch on the TV tonight. So Monaco Lyon promises to be which is the one I'll be watching because we all know Spanish football doesn't really exist. So
El Crapico.
El Crapico. Well, we all know that Real Madrid are just going to win with 87 dodgy penalties and 4 offside Ronaldo goals. So,
well, we also know that the government's rigged for those two teams. So why would you watch a rigged tournament?
Exactly. So I might have it on in the background, but Monaco Lyon will be on my TV. Thank you very much. But anyway, whatever you choose to watch tonight, enjoy it. Record your highlights for the Man City game. I'm sure we'll all watch it back. With glee, absolutely. And I'll leave you with 3 thoughts, actually. Firstly, thanks to every one of you that's tuned in today. We really appreciate it. If you do like what we do, give us a little thumbs up in the bottom because it makes Danny's giblets tingle, which ultimately is what we want from the show. Also, I just want to give my thanks to Danny and indeed all the crew at the ABW podcast. It's been a tough few weeks, but we've been here, rain or shine. Even John, I'll thank. Do I thank John? Well, no, I won't thank John, but everybody else, we continue to bring you content, and hopefully you've enjoyed it. And of course, I have to say, the cult of Pep is alive and well. So for all those people that gave me shit for saying we should have gone for him because he's the best manager in the world, I'm not having it. But no, I jest. But please do enjoy it. And if there's one thing you take away from today's show, from today's result, when you go on Twitter tonight, you go on Facebook, you see your mates down the pub, try and get on with each other. Just be happy for one. Just enjoy it, boys and girls. Because when we've lost to Leicester on Wednesday, it'll all go to shit again. I joke, of course. But many thanks to both to Carl and to Jace for giving up their time for free, as always. So thank you very much, gentlemen.
Free? Hold on a second. Danny said I was getting paid.
Take that up, Danny. I'm nothing to do with the management here. I just host the shit. It's nothing to do with me. Sorry. Jace, you'll be paid in soccer balls. Is that all right?
Long live soccer.
Yes, get on. Thank you very much for everyone for tuning in. We do appreciate each and every one of you. We'll be back after the Leicester game on Wednesday. I won't, because it's Alien Day and I'm having a nerd fest at the local cinema, but somebody will be here to host. It'll either be Danny or that one with crabs, John. But until then, this has been ABW Radio. Many thanks. Enjoy your massive semis. And until the final, we shall keep riding the crest of a wave. Many thanks, and we'll speak to you all very soon.